You know, sometimes you have to sing through your pain. And as Bart was singing that song this morning, that's what he was doing. He was just declaring the very fact that God will carry you no matter what you go through in life. I never told anyone this, and you'll see more of this unravel in my life as we do life together, but that song came to me about 14 years ago, right before I was getting ready to go through one of the toughest battles of my life. For some of you that have been with us for the last 7 months, you will know that some things that were very dark and almost demonic came into our life and our ministry about 14 years ago, and the devil wanted to take me down at any cost he could, and take the body of Christ down at any cost, the way he was going to go after the body of Christ. And I'll tell you, it was that song, as I would sing it and I would play it over and over again in my office, just reminding me that I was not alone. I was not alone. I was not alone. Yes, I had a wife and I had a family that were with me, but far greater than a loving wife and a supportive family, I had a God that was with me. If God be for us, who can be against us, the scriptures say. And I'll tell you this morning, as you have come into this place of worship, you've also come into a safe place where you can just be honest. Be honest with God and be honest with one another. And this morning, I just feel like God is just really speaking to all of us in a really tender way and a wonderful way this morning. And I just want to be sensitive to his movement this morning. You know, this morning, as we continue on in our series of Better Together, we're kind of looking at what it would look like if two churches in the same community came together, and rather than having two separate places called the house of worship, we would come together to make one great church. As I prayed in my prayer this morning, as Westlock is meeting about 4 miles away, we're meeting here, and we're really being intentional about really seeking God's will for the next step, not only of us, but for Westlock as well. Last Monday evening, we had a Q&A here at the church. We had a town hall where we all gathered together that wanted to ask questions and kind of just kind of flush out the whole idea of what it would look like to merge two churches together. This morning, I want us to answer, or at least look at the question, hopefully answer, what is the church? That's a question I want us to look at this morning. What is the church? I don't do this very often, but I'm going to do it this morning because I want us to collaborate on this question this morning. So go ahead and get in groups of four or five people. And I'm sorry, if you're a first-time guest, I apologize. This does not happen every week. Don't be freaked out. I don't do this every week. But what I want us to do is I want us to collaborate as people of God this morning and ask ourselves the question, and this is the question, what comes to mind when you hear the word church? What comes to mind when you personally hear the word church? So go ahead, four or five people, about 60 seconds. I want you to answer that question this morning. What comes to mind when you hear the word church? All right, time's up. Let's gather back together and let's talk out loud for just a minute or two. What were some of the things that you came up with when that question was asked? What comes to mind when you hear the word church? Give me some answers.
Family,
body of believers, family.
Worship,
people.
Recharging.
Fellowship. No, not in this church. No. And if there is some nap, I will ask the ushers to open all the doors going outside so all the wonderful cold air can come in and wake you guys up this morning. No napping on this watch this morning. What else?
Food,
okay. No, that's good. Yeah.
Building with a steeple,
okay. Yeah. Unity, yeah. God's house.
Place to get close to God.
Like it.
The bride.
The The bride, yes. Someone said Slim Jim.
Friendship.
Oh, friendship. Oh, yeah. I'm thinking, Slim Jim? What's that got to do with the church? Yes, yes, friendship. Yes, I like it.
Community.
And I don't like Slim Jims. I know it's a surprise. Shocker. Community, yes, yes, I heard that. Well, so you guys did well this morning with getting together in those small groups. And for those that hate that, I apologize. But for those that enjoy it, you're welcome. But can I tell you, and all of these are really good answers, and all of these are correct, but can I tell you some of the myths that are out there? I think many a times when we look at this question, what is the church? I think sometimes if we're not careful, we can get caught up in what traditionally we believe the church is. So I'm going to tell you what the church is not. First of all, the church is not a building. Now, the church is a building, but church is not a building. Although we have a very beautiful building, and 4 miles down the road at Westlock, they have a very beautiful building as well. But if, God forbid, both of our buildings burnt down this week, guess what would happen next week? Church. Because it's not a building. Another thing is the church is not a worship style. Although we enjoyed our worship this morning, and as different as it was, as it had some hymns with some choruses, and we did some prayers, we did some kneeling, some of us did not, some of us stood, some of us gave tithes and offerings this morning. Although our worship styles are different, that is not the church. And the third thing is the church is not a denomination. Although we are Wesleyan by denomination, and 4 miles down the road, Westlock, denominationally a Wesleyan church, that does not make up the church. So it's not the building, it's not a worship style, it's not our denomination. But hear me, this is what the church is. Look at by definition what I believe the church is. The church is people brought together through Jesus Christ as one family to accomplish God's purpose here on the earth. The church is God's. The church is people brought together through Jesus Christ as one family to accomplish God's purpose here on the earth. In Romans chapter 12, verses 4 and 5, you'll see it on the screen. For just as each of us has one body and many, many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. That is why unity in the church is so important. And that's why the Apostle Paul talks about this in verse 5. Each member belongs to all the others. I tell you, I am not a doctor, but I can tell you this morning, if each one of our cells physically started fighting at each other, it would end in physical death. If this morning our bodies, both the good cells and the bad cells, were free to just go after each other, the end result would be death. So before we look at how we can be all that the Lord would have us to be in our church, in our community, in our world, let's look at the roles of what each one plays. First of all, let's look at the role of Jesus. What does he add? What does he bring to the body of Christ? First of all, Jesus establishes the church, or Jesus established the church. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, it says, "And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades," or the gates of hell, "will not overcome it." I'll tell you, if God established and set up the church where Jesus is the head of the church, can I just be honest with you? The church is both good and important. Not because of us being in the church, but because God established it the way God established it. And I'll tell you, many times in our culture, what makes people walk away from the church is they feel like the church is not relevant. They feel like the church is not there for them. They feel the church has let them down at some level in their life. But can I just tell you that the church is both good and important. Otherwise, God would not have established it. God would not have put his son, Jesus, as the head of the church if it was not good or important. In Genesis chapter 1, as God is creating this whole beautiful universe that we find ourselves in this morning living in, let me tell you, at the end of each day of creation, the phrase, "it is good," came out of God's mouth. Or at least recorded in Genesis chapter 1, where God said, "it is good." The church is not only good because God created it and put his son as the head of the church, but it's important for us because we, the body of Christ, support the head of the church, which is Jesus Christ. I think it's interesting that many times we look to God, we look to Jesus to be our support, to be our strength, and yet God also wired us to support the head of the church. Can you imagine a head all by itself and what it would look like and how it would function? So God, in his infinite wisdom, not only created Jesus to be the head, but he created you and I to be part of that membership and to support the head. Inside the head is the brain, and in the brain is the wisdom of God. And Jesus himself has launched us into a way that not only does he bring support to us, but we bring support to the head of the church, Jesus Christ. So Jesus established the church. The second thing I see is Jesus leads the church. It is Jesus that leads the church. Colossians chapter 1, verse 18 says, "And he," Jesus, "is the head of the body, the church. He," Jesus, "is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he," Jesus, "might have the supremacy." Hear me this morning, church. Jesus is the lead of the church. Jesus is the lead of Westlock Church. Jesus is the lead of this church, Raleigh Wesleyan. Yes, I pastor here. I am the lead pastor, but make no mistakes. In my mind and in my heart, I always want Jesus to lead this church. Did you hear me? I want Jesus to lead this church. We've got great board of administration. We've got great leaders in charge of this church, but they would say the same. Make no mistake, Jesus leads this church. And I'll tell you, as blessed as I am to be a leader in this church, to pastor you, to shepherd you, I will tell you there is a greater benefit as a leader to know that I've got someone that's stronger, better, greater than I to lead the church, and that is Jesus. He marvels no other than his Father, God himself, and he leads strong. So Jesus leads the church. And then the third thing is Jesus empowers the church. Because he knows who he is and he knows what he does, he empowers the church. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. It says, "So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up." This is where the body of Christ needs to understand. Jesus established the church. Jesus leads the church. Jesus empowers the church by the Holy Spirit to do the work of all the ministries that take place so that lost people will be found. That family members that are not Christ followers will someday come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Where your co-workers, your neighbors, and those people that you rub shoulders with would come to the understanding that there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun, and they draw near to Christ. So the church is not a building. It's not a worship style. It's not a denomination. The head of the church, Jesus, he's the leader. He established the church, and he empowers the church. So what's our response? Or better yet, what should our response be? I think sometimes we have responses, but they're not correct. But what should our response be in this idea of what church is and who Jesus is. So what do we need to understand this morning as the members of one body? First of all, we must have a mission over me mentality. We've got to let the mission of the church direct us rather than my opinion, your opinion, our opinion. We must have mission over me. You will hear me say this more than one time, but I hope you see it modeled in my life. I choose second. I think in a day and age where we seem to be me first, I will tell you I want to not only go on record out loud, but hopefully in my modeling that I choose second. Because that's what Jesus did. Besides doing the will of the Father, primary, the second thing is he did is he loved his neighbor as much as he loved himself, and he modeled it by taking on the role as a servant. You see, mission over me says our mission statement of believe, love, disciple matters more than me, me, me. It matters more about what the mission of the church is rather than did my feelings get hurt? Did someone step on my toe? Was something happened in the church circle that made me feel a little bit uncomfortable? It doesn't matter. The bottom line is we need to have mission over me, and in the process we need with love. If we've wounded our fellow man, we need to apologize. We need to out ourselves and say, you know what, I didn't mean to hurt your feelings. In the pursuit of mission over me, I got a little too aggressive, and I apologize. But I will tell you, mission over me is what makes sense of the merger. Two mortgages, two utility bills, two separate locations, one community, 4 miles apart. If we actually catch a vision of a mission over me mentality, it becomes a very obvious thing that God is drawing us together to work together, to do great things together in our community and world. The problem is that we've got a culture that is countercultural when it comes to choosing second. You never go to a sporting activity and hear, we're number two, we're number two. Never hear it. But I hope in the walls of this church, I hear, but more importantly, see, I choose second. I choose second. It's not about me. I choose second. Wanting the mission of the church to be primary over my desires is what Jesus models throughout his life. I tell you, when I started looking at the possibility, the merger, and this was even before I became your pastor. Hear me. God dealt with me in a parking lot in Grand Rapids one day, and he started speaking to me about this opportunity that might happen. And I thought to myself, really, God, I'm not even there yet. I'm not even in Williamson yet, and yet you're starting to dream dreams. Give me visions beyond my experience and all this. I've never merged a church before. I never brought two bodies together to make one church before. And I started to hear God say, do you trust me? Do you really believe that I'm the God of the church and he can do what he wants to do through me? And as I was starting to think about this, I thought, okay, Lord, somewhere down the road, I'll have a conversation with maybe that church 4 miles away. I didn't even know who was pastoring the church at that time. And I'll tell you, as I got here and I had my first breakfast appointment, I had no idea that God was going to bring this all together so quickly, but that's how God works. When there is unity, when there's oneness of heart and purpose, God moves. And that's what we're experiencing right now. This is not a master plan of any person, but it is a plan that God has in store for each and every one of us. He's trying to draw us together as one church, one great church, to make a difference in our community and world. By a show of hands, how many of you know someone in your sphere of influence who is not a Christ follower? Let me see your hands. And 100% of our hands went up, absolutely. And as long as we have our hands raised that we know one person that is not a Christ follower, we must do whatever it takes, according to Scripture, to reach out to that one lost person. Mission over me is our call. Mission over me is where we need to be. Mission over me is where the Apostle Paul was. Look at Acts chapter 2, verses 22 through 24. Hear Paul's words. They're not very wonderfully embracing words of warm and fuzzies. They're hardship, but listen. And now, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city, the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardship are facing me. However, I consider my life worthy nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. Even when faced with hardship and certainty of prison, Paul put the mission over me into practice. How are we doing that this morning, church? Is our mission greater than my wants, your wants, our wants? I'll tell you another thing that happens when we finally get to the point that we are the body of Christ. We are working as a body that has many members, and yet we stand as one. We can accomplish more together. Point number two, accomplish more. In Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 through 12, it says, two are better than one because they will have a good return for their labor. If either one of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. This last Friday night, I had an opportunity to do some hang time with Pastor Matt and his kids. We went to District 5. Some of you may know what it is. Some of you may not know what it is, but it's a lot of fun. There's trampolines. There's foam pits where you jump off from towers into this foam pit. And I was not warned that when you jump from the highest tower into a foam pit, you go deep into the foam pit, and it's almost impossible for a 55-year-old man to get out of that foam pit. So Ecclesiastes chapter 4 really spoke to me, because what I was doing is I was in this foam pit deep up into my neck almost, and there's Pastor Matt off to the side. You need some help? Well, I'll tell you, he seemed like a mile away from me at that point because I was just buried. But I tell you, even from a mile away, and even though I could not touch him, he started to give me some coaching lessons. Okay, roll up to the top if you can get up. And once you get up to the top of the foam, roll to me. Roll to me. Ron, roll to me. And about 50 minutes later, I got out. And I was thanking God our cell phones were in the car so he could not get a video, because I know him. Or I should say, I know myself. If he was in that predicament, I'd have my phone out and start taping what was going on. But I'll tell you, even him coaching me from the side gave me enough strength to say, I can get through this. I can bear down and get on the top of the foam so that I can get out of this pit, never to enter it again. And I didn't. I didn't go back into a foam pit the whole night. There's a true story about a rodeo. It is the biggest rodeo that is in all of North America, and it's in Calgary. It's the Calgary Stampede, and it's a very prominent rodeo. In fact, people will actually book years out so that they don't miss this stampede in Calgary. One of the things they do that has kind of made them the notable notes of the rodeo is they do a horse pull, very similar to our tractor pulls that you see at the Fowlerville Fair. Rather than the tractors pulling the weight, these horses pull the weight. And I'll tell you, these horses are so big that they eat horses for breakfast. That's how big they are. They are huge horses. Well, the very first horse pull that they did back at the Stampede was done, and the winning horse pulled 9,000 pounds. 9,000 pounds. One horse pulling 9,000 pounds. The second place horse didn't do so bad. That horse pulled 8,000 pounds. And so 9,000 pounds, 8,000 pounds, collectively 17,000 pounds. I know I'm not a mathematician, but I know how to add. 8, 9 is 17. 17,000 pounds they pulled. Well, the owner of the winning horse that pulled 9,000 pounds, he thought to himself, what would happen if we teamed up both the first place and the second place horse, teamed them together, put them in the same type of situation, and had them pull together? What would they be able to pull together? Well, again, like I said, 9 and 8 is 17. 17,000 pounds. Did they pull 17,000 pounds? No. 30,000 pounds these two horses did together, because two is better than one. And a cord of three strands is not easily broken. One church, Rowley. One church, Westlock. One God. A cord of three strands is not easily broken. Which brings us to the third point. It may be a little uncomfortable for some if we don't catch the mission over mentality. The third point is we will grow. If you haven't noticed yet, church, we're growing. People are coming to us. People are engaging in our church. People are coming back because they are seeing something here at the church that just kind of connects and resonates in their faith. And I'll tell you, as a growing church, we will grow. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 15 and 16 says it this way, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Healthy things in life naturally grow. And I know sometimes growing can make us feel a little bit uncomfortable. There are some folks that even this morning sit here and go, well, with this merger, yes, I know they're Wesleyan in doctrine, and yes, I kind of even know them because we live in the same community, but if they come over, will that mean I don't get to know everybody at the church? Well, by a show of hands, how many of you know everybody that's in this church this morning right now? Look around and ask yourself the questions, do you know everyone here this morning? Answer? No. Say it with conviction. Answer?
No.
No, we don't. But we live in community because we know a God who has called us into community. And I will tell you, as your pastor and one that wants to lead strong, as we grow, we must stay committed to community. We must stay committed to oneness. We may stay committed to the unity of the bond of peace that Christ gives us. And as we do it, we will have joy in the process. So what is the church? The church is you. The church is me. It's us being led through Jesus Christ as one family to make a difference in the world in which we live. You know, this last week, as we had our chance to meet together in our town hall talking about next steps and what would this merger look like, I trust and I pray that you are committed to pray about our next steps. I said it before and I'll say it again, I want nothing less or nothing more than God's will to be lived out in the life of this church, because Jesus leads this church. And I don't want to be a stumbling block, and I don't want to be a hindrance to what God wants for his church. So God, help us as a church to know that you love us, but also you love others. You love people that are not even here this morning, but will be here a year from now. We don't even know them by name, but you do. And I go on record this morning as the pastor and say, I trust you, God. I trust you. This is your church. Lead. Lead us through this next step of the journey. Lead us in our marriages. Lead us in our families. Lead us in our connections outside the walls of the church. Lead us, God. May we follow you every step of the way. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.